Before we begin, could we just look to the Lord for a moment in prayer? Our loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we wait upon you, Lord. We ask, Father, that from your hand we might receive the words to speak, the words to hear, the hearts open to change. We are yours. And we commit this hour into your hands and unto your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been asked to speak for a number of weeks on a series of messages that I worked on recently, addressing the general subject of who we are in Christ. I'd like to begin by reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, and verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And then Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. In these two very brief passages of Scripture, we see just how far man had come since those days of intimacy in the garden. That a man in spiritual darkness, the king, Pharaoh, could ask the question, Who is the Lord that I should regard him or pay heed to his voice? We might understand. But likewise, the man Moses posed a question. And it was really the same question. Moses very adroitly phrased that question to the Lord as if to make it come from the children of Israel. But had Moses known who the Lord was, he would not have asked. The question was Moses. It was his understanding. He was really saying to the Lord, Lord, God of our fathers, Who are you? Who is this with whom I have to do? Who are you, Lord? God's answer to Moses in verse 14 of the third chapter is, I am that I am. Now, I'd have to say that in plain English, that makes no sense. But I believe what the Lord was saying to Moses was, Moses, if I gave you a name, or if I talked to you for an hour or a day, I would barely be scratching the surface of your understanding in terms of who I am. I am more than can be captured by a name, Moses. I am everything I am. I am that I am. And the events, the spectacular events of the Exodus, God, with a mighty outstretched arm, led the children of Israel out of captivity and showed that he was a God of great power. In the months and years to follow, he gave them the law and showed that he was a holy God, a God of righteousness and justice. And in the 40 years of wanderings within the wilderness, he showed that he was a faithful God, a God who would lead them aright, a God who would provide for them moment by moment and day by day. In the centuries that followed, he showed yet more of an answer to Moses' question by revealing himself through the words of the prophets and of the priests and of the psalmists. And then in the fullness of time, he showed us who he was in the best possible way as God in the person of His Son became a man. And we could look upon Him with our eyes, and we could hear the words of grace that fell from His lips. We could touch Him, and we could marvel at the wonders of His works and of His words. And then at Calvary. At Calvary we saw that God was ultimate love. We saw in the person of Christ and the work He did, a God of infinite love. And when He raised Him from the dead, infinite power. We who have come from spiritual darkness unto spiritual light might well ask a comparable question of the Lord. And that question being, Lord, who am I? What is it that You are doing in my life? What is it that You are making me? Who am I, Lord? Who am I? This series of messages will be just scratching the surface of that question. But I hope to take you through a number of illustrations from Scripture that will begin at least to address the question of who we are in Christ. We'll begin today with a very simple illustration, just a material illustration. But by the grace of God, in weeks to come, we'll take a look at an illustration which is not just material, but living. And then we'll go on and consider an illustration which is not just living, but intimate. And then finally, we will cap it with an illustration that is not just intimate, but organic. And so I hope to share some things with you concerning who we are in Christ. I begin by reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we had this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. Here in this illustration, Paul is telling us that God has constituted us containers. Simple earthen vessels within which He is pleased to place a treasure of inestimable worth. And that treasure is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God as we find it revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. I'd like to illustrate this in a very material way. I should point out before going on that my father-in-law, has in recent years taken up calligraphy. And he was kind and gracious enough to put a portion of this verse into calligraphy. And I have some 40, 50 copies. If you'd like one afterward, I'll have them up here in front. You're welcome to take one. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's a shop downtown that's located in the basement of one of the downtown buildings. And it specializes in simple earthenware. And I went in there, perhaps a year or so ago, and talked with the proprietor. And she agreed to make the item that I was describing. And I brought that today. A very simple piece of plain earthenware. It has a nice feature. It's flattened, so it will sit and display its contents. Simple piece of earthenware. And there's another thing that I've taken advantage of locally. Once each year, late in the spring, there's a rock and mineral show that comes to the county fairgrounds, and I enjoy that. I go and typically buy one or two little items. And so what I've done is to place these little gems, if you will, these stones, within this earthen vessel, and I have it on display in my home. I hope to frame that verse and put it behind it to sort of highlight the meaning of that display. I'm an earthen vessel. If you were to look into me, what would you find? You would find that a big part of that vessel was now laid aside for a beautiful little girl whose name is Amy Elizabeth, my beloved daughter, whom we have consecrated to God. That's the meaning of her name. You would find there's another chunk of that vessel that's set aside for my wife, Amy's mother. And there are smaller areas, but areas that are just as meaningful, just as real for other members of my family, loved ones, friends who have been precious to me over the years. And if you'd look in other places, you would find a job I hold. You would find a place for the students I interact with and hold in high regard as brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you'd look a little deeper, you'd find things like some of my dreams. Some of the things I did in the past, a patent I got many years ago, poems I've written, things I've drawn, dreams and hopes and memories. And if I were to look into you as an earthen vessel, I would find much the same. The detail would be different, but the content would be very, very similar. We are earthen vessels. But Paul tells us God is about the business of placing a treasure within those vessels. And God can only put that treasure in there if we are empty enough to receive it. And so I think the first thing that comes out of this illustration is a call on the part of the Lord that we empty ourselves, that there might be room for the treasure that He desires to place within. What is that treasure? The verse tells us it is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'd like to illustrate that. When I was in my late teens, my older brother came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could see the beginnings of change in his life, a tendency toward more mellowness, more acceptance. And then one night, in a very halting way, as the lights went out in our room, my brother shared the gospel of Christ with myself and my younger brother. And he told us that if we would ask the Lord into our hearts and ask forgiveness for our sins, that not only would He forgive us for the sins we've committed, but even the sins of the future that we might commit, He would hold us secure in His hand, according to His faithfulness. I had always thought if I gave my heart to Christ, I would sin next week and I would fall short of the glory that was His right. And when I heard that, and when I realized that it had made a difference in His life, I took that and I said, what a beautiful truth. What a gem. And I asked the Lord into my own heart and life. And some treasure was placed within. I read that Christ had gone to Calvary. And I thought to myself, how unspeakably lovely God must be, since His Son would do this for me. And I took that knowledge and I put it as a piece of treasure within my heart, and it became a part of me. And He rose from the grave. And the only conclusion that I could draw from this act of Christ was, what a mighty God the Father must be in that His Son would rise from the grave. And I took some more of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God as revealed in Christ and placed it in my heart, and it became a part of me. Years ago, I used to be in fellowship with a very small group of believers. Perhaps half a dozen was typical. We met in a private home. And I'd say a little bit more than half of those who attended were black. We had a family from China, who stayed with us for a year, and there were some Indian people. For the most part, a very mixed group. And I remember one person there in particular. It was a middle-aged woman, a black woman named Barbara Jones. Barbara was an unspeakably loving, discerning, consistent believer. And I remembered once as it came time for me to get ready to leave that assembly, to go to graduate school in Florida. I wanted to encourage them the last time I spoke with them. And so I sort of went around the room and I mentioned the fruit of the Spirit and where I had actually seen that. And I came to Barbara and I said, "And what can I say about Barbara Jones? I almost have the sense that one day that skin is going to fall away and all I will see is Christ." How beautiful God must be that His Son could so beautify Barbara. And I took that little gem and placed it in my heart and it became a part of me. And over the years since then, there have been other believers whom I have seen that have reflected the glory of God in what Christ has done within their lives. One after another, they've become a part of me. And there have been doctrines that I have embraced with my whole being because they have shown me something of the glory of the Father as I have found it in Jesus Christ. And so God is about the business of building up a treasure within me. This is a very simple illustration, but it has some implications for us. First of all, it has implications for how we view others. I can look you in the eye and say, "You're just like me. We're made of the same stuff. You're just a vessel made of clay." Some of us are a little bit taller or shorter. We have various different shapes. Some of us a little bit more polished or a little bit less. But we're made of the same stuff. How humbling. Not only are we made of the same stuff, we're made of the same stuff the whole earth is made of. We're just vessels made of clay. I promise not to be too terribly impressed with you as a vessel. I promise that. And I invite you not to be too terribly impressed with me. We're made of the same stuff. We're only vessels made of clay. When the dust settles, my friend, we will all settle in the dust. And yet there's another implication, and that is that I must regard you with the greatest respect. Because within you I find the same treasure that I find as the only thing of value in me. I find that God is doing the same kind of work in you, placing the same kind of precious truths within you that have been precious to me and that I have valued within myself. And so as I come across you and see the treasure that God is placing there, I've got to hold you in the highest esteem. Not as a vessel, but in the treasure I find there. I encourage you to gaze upon the treasure that you find within yourself. And especially in this time of Thanksgiving, be thankful for what you find there. Those who have known the Lord for any length of time are consistent in their testimony concerning His faithfulness. Though we may wander, though the vessel may from time to time be dirty, yet God is faithful and the treasure builds and the treasure beautifies. Delight yourself in it. Be thankful for what God has done. And I'd encourage you once in a while to sort of open up and share a bit concerning what God is doing in your life, because otherwise all we'll see is a vessel made of clay. There are implications as well for who we are. First of all, we're limited. I'd like to illustrate this again from a story in the book of Exodus. God had led Israel out of Egypt with a mighty outstretched arm. And the children of Israel had come to the border of the sea. They were between a rock and a hard place, because if they tried to go ahead, they would drown. And if they stayed or turned back, they would go back into a servitude more severe than they had ever known, or die. These were workers in clay. These were people who for generations had made brick and mortar. Surely they had vessels of clay. And Moses might easily have said something like this to them: let every man among you bring his earthen vessel and come to the sea, and there fill it with water and pour it out upon the dry ground. Likewise, every woman and child. And God will make a way for you through the sea. I think if Moses had said that, we would not have the story of the Exodus, because they would have gone back into slavery. Picture yourself as an earthen vessel. Down to the sea you go, and you're filled, you do your absolute utmost to take on this job and to do it. And you go over, and you're carried over to the dry ground, and there you pour yourself out, and again, 100 times. And in time it becomes discouraging, because as you look, the very hole you dug is filled before your eyes. And there is no progress. You are just a vessel made of clay. Faithful worker, it may seem from time to time that you have tried something innumerable times, and it simply isn't working. Hear the words of Moses to the children of Israel. They weren't bring your vessels. They were these: fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. You are but a vessel made of clay. The work is His. You can surrender it into His hands. He will do the work. There's another implication for who we are, and that is that we are fragile. We can be broken. Age brings breaking upon the body, and stress brings breaking upon the mind. We're fragile. We can be broken. To those who minister the word, whether in Sunday school or from the platform, I would say this: be gentle with the Lord's people, because they can be broken. We're just earthen vessels made of clay. Most of all, you have within you an unspeakable treasure of inestimable worth, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Empty yourself to be filled with that treasure, and then gaze upon it and delight yourself in what you find. Perhaps as an individual, you have not yet even begun to embrace the treasure that God has in store for you. And I would encourage you, open your eyes to see the beauty of what God is doing. Open your heart and make room for the treasure that He will surely place there to your own eternal delight. Let us pray. Our holy Lord, we thank You for the work of Christ, for the person of Christ, for the love of Christ, for the Christ who points to You, for the one who said, "Unto God be glory in the church." We thank You that through Him we glorify You. Thank You for the great gift of our Lord and Savior. Amen.